It is great to have you on the Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential. I would like to highlight a ministry that I have loved for years, Compassion International. Compassion is an incredible organization that is all about releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. They currently serve over 2 million children and their families in some of the most poverty-stricken areas of the world, and here is my favorite part. All of this is happening in the local church. Compassion is all about equipping the local church so every single child is cared for by the leaders in their community. As a pastor, I found Compassion to be a strategic part of our global mission strategy. As a church, we've incorporated Compassion into our focus on Honduras. Compassion made it easy for everyone in our church to put their faith in action by caring for a child in need. I would encourage anyone listening to learn more about Compassion, sponsor a child, and release them from poverty in Jesus' name. Visit compassion.com/family goals to sponsor a child today. Today, we have a special guest on the podcast, the coach of the 2021 NCAA basketball national champion Baylor Bears, Coach Scott Drew.
And I like the shirt you got on.
How about that? Yeah, I wore that for you. Well, Ashley, he tells me one time, he says, hey, I got a guy dressing up in a bird costume because Trey Young is afraid of birds, and we're going to try to intimidate Trey Young when Oklahoma comes in.
trust me, that's what I was going to get into. I mean, like, he's got over-the-top ideas. Like, he does research. I mean.
Hold on. And now, I don't even know what's going on here, but this is awesome, and people are going to love this. But and then Trey Young gets drafted by the Hawks. And Hawk mascot.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So we're not going to see him, like, hugging on the Hawk mascot, Harry the Hawk or whatever it is. This is great stuff.
Yeah, Ashley is convinced that he's won a few games for Baylor. And that he said he got into Bill Self's head one time. He even got a smirk out of Bill Self one time, he said.
Yeah, I know what he did to get the smirk because he told me afterwards.
All right, Coach. Well, I want everybody to get to know you, Coach, because we read your book, The Road to Joy, and we've seen you have a ton of success. This is Scott Drew, the men's coach for Baylor, and we love watching your teams. I love watching your teams. I love watching them compete. They're a little bit different, but talk to me about your dad. Like, your dad was a basketball coach, excuse me, and you worked for your dad. I think it's so cool, some of the stories in the book with your dad, but talk about your dad and your mom just as their influence growing up and making you the man you are today.
Well, I was really blessed from the standpoint. A lot of people spend time with their parents, and then when they go to college, they're gone and it's over. They leave, take a job after that. And the fact that I was able after college to come back, work with my dad, and spend that time with them, that was, and hopefully I was more mature and a better son than I was when I was 8 and 10 years old, causing chaos around the house. But the fact that my dad was a Hall of Fame coach, but he was a better father. And there's no one you'd rather have great memories or even tough times to endure with than family. And I was able to do that with my dad, and wouldn't have the professional success without him. But more importantly, the memories and the opportunity to spend that quality time with them when I was age 22 to 31 years old that normally you don't get. Because in the coaching profession, you spend a lot of time in the office and with the team. And the team is your coaching staff and the players. So I was extremely blessed with that.
Yeah,
and you know, basketball, we go a little longer in football. Because football, I mean, you guys gonna hit, beat up each other. Yep. Basketball can be all day long. All
yeah,
right?
Well, we're a little tougher. But that's just a side note. Just a little tougher there. Hey, you know, you want to know how you ask that or answer that question easily? There's not many guys on your basketball team that are going, oh, let's go play football. Nah, bro. I ain't putting those pads on, getting out in that heat with that sloppiness. But I think another cool thing about your dad is your dad had an opportunity to pursue his dream of coaching big time basketball like you're doing. But he chose you guys over that. Tell us a little bit about that and what that modeled for you.
Well, with the NCAA, back in the day, you could recruit 24/7 on the road. And I think like the last year, 156 or 158 nights, he was gone. So my mom tells the story. One night he came back from recruiting and basically us kids thought he was a burglar. And at that point, he's like, I got to change professions. So the fact that he was knocking on the door to be a young head Division One coach, and yet he gave that up to go to a small division NAIA school just so he could spend more time with me, my brother, and sister. Now that I'm where I'm at, and meaning when you're in the profession and you know just the temptation to achieve success at the highest level, to give that up to spend time with your kids was just an amazing sacrifice, but also probably why I'm in the profession and why my brother's in the profession. At the end of the day, if you don't look up to your dad and he's not a role model, you're not trying to follow in his footsteps. And I think one of the ultimate compliments a son could ever give his father is to try to go in the profession that he chose and be like him. Definitely, growing up, he could have been gone the whole time and chased his goals and dreams. But the fact that God opened a different door for him and put it on his heart to spend time with us, then the irony or just how God works on the back end, now he leads Valpo to a Sweet 16, one of the first mid-major Cinderella stories ever, and he got had those opportunities to achieve success at the Division I level. But he got to do it with my brother and me and our family, which was amazing.
I remember that. I think it was against Ole Miss when your brother hit the game-winning three-pointer in March Madness.
Yeah, DP likes that. You know them SEC schools, when they take L's, he likes that, right?
hey, man, I always cheer for the upsets, though. The upsets and the tourneys, you know, make it what it is. But that story and that play, like, I mean, how cool is that? Like, that's your brother, man. Like, that play, not only that, he was the 17th pick in the NBA draft and went on to play with, obviously, you know, guys like Charles Barkley and have an NBA career. But, like, how cool is it to be a part of, not only that, like, you got your dad who's royalty. You got your brother who's royalty. Like, just being a part of that family and the pride that probably brings you.
I remember the morning going to that game because we had gone to the NCAA tournament a couple times before. First time we got blew out by Arizona, and it was an embarrassing thing. The next one we're playing Boston College, and we're up, and in the last few minutes of the game ended up losing it, and you're that close to having an upset and that Cinderella moment. And then the last year, I remember going to the Oklahoma City and pulling up, and I'm like, man, I don't want this to be the last time I coach the seniors, and especially the last time I coach my brother. And the fact that we played well, we're up, and then they come down and they should have put the game away. They missed two free throws.
Yep.
And it's a play that my dad would always, at the end of practice, we'd run, and me and my brother would be like, why are we always running this? We never use this thing. You know?
Yep.
But I guess dad always knows best. And the fact that not only do you win the game and you have the opportunity to have that Cinderella moment, still, a lot of times they have a top 10 NCAA tournament memories, and that's top five. Yep. And my brother hits the three, dives on the four, and they say, why do you dive on the four? And well, he had 2'6" twins running at him, both for us benching like 330. So those are monsters for basketball. You know, football, I mean, that's probably a DB, but basketball, them big dudes.
Yeah.
All right. So he dives down. And it's the only time that I've ever, like, all the coaches we ran, we got on top. See, we're smart.
You know, oh, yes.
But to share that moment, and then you win the next game, go to the Sweet 16. But every time they play that in March Madness, it's just an amazing part to be remembered, the emotions and feelings that go into that.
Well, and I love how you said, like, in the book, like, I think, you know, you can get bitter about that stuff. You know, you can get bitter about your brother being the person that's always talked about. And I love how you're like, I take a lot of pride in it because it got me to Baylor. But here's something that I thought was really cool. Like, you're at Valpo, and you're learning in your coaching journey. And you told your dad, like, basically, and everybody, when you got hired, like, I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I'll do whatever you don't want to do. And you're learning, you're growing. But I love how you said you learn from your brother. And talk about like eavesdropping in on conversations. And because I think this is a super cool story that everybody would love. Like you're learning how to be a great basketball coach, and probably lessons and that you learned then that you're imploring now.
Well, Jesus came to serve and not be served. And coaches, our goals and our definition of a coach is to serve your players, to basically get them to where they want to go. And the fact that I played a small part in helping my brother be drafted 16th, play with the Rockets for 2 years, one with the Bulls, three with the Hornets, to have a chance to help him achieve that. And at the same time, he helped us achieve unprecedented success at a mid-major school at that time. And during the recruiting process, the irony was he was a real late bloomer. Like everyone in our family, we really grow late. And so we were smart enough to hold him back, so he was able to be tall enough, strong enough, big enough to win Mr. Basketball in Indiana. And then during that process, though, the beginning of his senior year, he was recruited by LaSalle with Speedy Morris and some other schools that weren't as high profile. By the end of the year, he was recruited by every top 20 program in the country. So, obviously, I'm recruiting him to Valpo, so I'm
he's recruiting his brother, and his dad's recruiting him to come to Valpo.
We all live in the same house. I mean, I'm making his bed for him. I'm doing the dishes for him. I mean, what do you need? You want me to carry your books to school? And then when letters come in, I mean, if it's a good letter, he's not seeing it. You know, we're throwing that thing away. but the fact that you see how everyone writes letters, you see how people are calling and talking, and you're seeing how they do home visits. And once they leave the home, you're like, that's really good. We're keeping that. We're using that. By the way, listen to what they said, Bryce.
That's awful stuff. Don't do that. What about the phone conversations? Don't like those.
So the old school, you know, like nobody had the iPhones back in the day. Like it was the ding a ding a ding answer the house phone, right? So, you know, first of all, if you're answering the house phone, you want Bryce. No, Bryce isn't here. He's not here. but if Bryce was there, the beauty was I was able to actually listen to a lot of those conversations, and you just pick up a lot of great lines and recruiting philosophies and thoughts. And honestly, it's like you go to a clinic, and we call it clinic talk. Coaches talk about things they don't want to give away. You know, they give you some nuggets, but they're not giving the treasure away, because that's what separates them. But the fact that you're able to listen to home visits, phone calls, see how people do everything, you got the real stuff. You got their A game. You got the treasure. And then from that, it was the best recruiting class you could ever be in, or basketball coaching class you could ever be in, because you got 30 schools here showing you what they do and how they do it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let's talk about
DP was a little different. You know, they just showed up in football with bags of money. And that's where you can watch it.
They showed up with bags of Big Macs.
I'm about to say bags
cheeseburgers.
Of cheeseburgers for your boy. I'd have taken anything. That was a little heavy lunch. Not recruiting. I tell you what, though, to that vein, recruiting is totally different now, and it's a different world than it used to be. So how do you handle the world now? Like how do you do it nowadays, and NIL and
transfer portal?
Transfer portal. And I was talking to you scheduling this interview, just texting you back and forth, and you're like, I'm still recruiting my players. Like I remember talking to Kirby. He was like, we used to go on the road after the season was done, but he's like, now we got to stay because we got to recruit our guys. Like we can't go on the road too much because somebody's going to come in. But like today's culture in recruiting, and from those conversations you had with your, how much has it changed? And I mean, do you like it, or how have you had to change with it?
Well, first of all, in sports, everything's evolving. Schematically, recruiting, everything that you do, you're constantly keeping up with the times. Otherwise, you're getting left behind. With name, image, and likeness, I mean, most coaches are always in favor of players being able to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. I don't think coaches disagree with that. At the same time, the question now is, it pay for play? Is it name, image, and likeness? Like what are going to be the parameters? And with Charlie Baker running the NCAA, I think he's going to, with legislation, find out and give us better guardrails. So again, coaches want to do things the right way, and programs want to be run the right way. The more guidance and direction and how things change to make sure players are protected, programs are protected. But I think someone said this in the coaching profession, and I've stolen it, because basically 50 to 75% more work has been thrown on coaches for the same job. And you're now doing things in recruiting. It used to be, like you said, season ended. You took a month to recharge when players went home, and then you were excited for the summer because you had a break, they had a break. Now I think everybody's vacations with their family and everything will completely shift until recruiting and the rosters are finalized. And that's just how things have changed. And we're going through a transition period, all sports, to figure this out. But I know with my dad, the reason he changed was so he could spend family time. I know we're going to have to make changes. Otherwise, I know coaches, we get paid for what we do, but there's no money that replaces family, and there's no money that replaces happiness. And there has to be a balance. And as we get better guardrails and we get better recruiting periods, and one of the things I love about when you start out in the profession, you're blessed to learn from a lot of people, and they hopefully make the profession better for you. Now I've been in it for 30 years. I'm trying to make it better for those that are in their 20s, because right now the profession is not in a good place as far as just the guardrails and the calendars and everything matching up so that you can have a good family balance and work-life balance. And that's for everybody involved, I believe.
Scott, you had a great model for your dad, keeping family a priority. How have you been able to keep family a priority? What are some things that you do to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be home with my wife, I'm going to be home with my kids, or I'm going to keep family a priority?
Well, I know that's probably one of the toughest things coaches deal with. And at the end of the day, you're constantly working to try to be present when you're home, try to be able to be there for your family. You only get one shot at being a dad. You only get one shot at being a husband. And I'll be honest, a lot of coaches have a lot of regrets when it comes to family. The good thing is I learned from my mom and dad, and I know they're great parents. And so if I can take their strengths and exemplify them and use them, and it all starts with a marriage. If it's not a Christ-centered marriage, it's hard enough. 50% people get divorced, and to have a Christ-centered marriage and keep your family focused, God first, that gives you a chance to be successful. At the end of the day, with my kids, and I heard this from DP, and I loved it. After every sporting event, did you play as hard as you could, and did you have fun? And that's something I try to take away when I heard him say that with my three children. But at the end of the day, I will have had a successful life as a father and a husband if I know my kids are in heaven and as many of our players are there. Because at the end of the day, money isn't buying your way into heaven. And Jesus is the one that did the work, and through him and faith and grace and our Lord and Savior, that's how we're getting to heaven. And to me, that's all that matters at the end of the day. So constant struggle, trying to balance it. I wish I could give you a Cliff Note version, because right now with our profession, it's harder than ever to have that. And that's why I'm so excited to see what changes we can make in the next year or two in the recruiting models and the portal and everything. Because you want to be fair, you want to be just, but everything can't be one way or the other. Good business is everybody benefits. So we need to find a way for everyone to benefit, and not just the coaches or a program or the players or the agents. It needs to be, how can everybody benefit? And if kids and families are lost in the process, that's not a good business deal for anybody.
Yeah. And I've reading your book, reading your story, talking about somebody that's dealt with difficult times, I think you'll understand this. Like, I want to take you back. Like, everybody thinks about coach, and I think you think about 2021, winning a national championship, watching that Baylor team. But getting the Baylor job years and years and years before that, like that was the time when Baylor, they had a murdering of a teammate murdered a teammate, and they're looking for their next coach. And how the heck do you walk into that job and create culture? You know, you walk into a job where you had that kind of stuff, and the coach gets fired for lying, and even more stuff that was going on, and just a hard situation. You're in a hard situation now that you're navigating through. But how did you take that team to from that year to losing, to struggling, trying to field a team? I love the story outside of Fazoli's that you're recruiting. He saw a 6'6" guy outside of Fazoli's, and literally like him and his coach walked up to him and was like, "Hey, do you play basketball?" Like recruiting anybody you can to building it to a national champion, you know, that you build in the powerhouse that you've built now. But like, how did you deal with that circumstance, and how did you create the culture of joy that ended up turning into a national championship?
Well, I know we're looking for walk-ons because we had half a team of walk-ons, and you see a 6'6", 6'7" guy that says he's a Baylor student, and then you spend 2 weeks trying to find him and you can't. You're like, what's going on around here? You know,
keyword being a Baylor student, right? Like
every other Baylor student was 6 foot tall. Where'd the 6'7" guy go? You know. So anyway, my dad, one thing that once I took the job, he said, let's read the book of Job. He spent the first 3 years in the book of Job. I'm like, is there any other book in the Bible? I mean, what?
That's a good one to start at.
So, and that's where your mentor, how you learn to do things, how you're coached, how you're brought up, so important, because how we've always run a program is a player's first program. And that is, I mean, we're here to serve and bring out the best in our players. And at Baylor, it's called Preparing Champions for Life. It's spiritual, it's academic, it's character formation, and it's athletic, and pouring into the total student athlete. And life is short. You want to recruit people that you want to spend time with. With me, I've been really blessed because I've learned from our staff each and every day, not only basketball wise, but how to be a better husband, father, how to be a better Christian man, and iron sharpens iron. And again, I get more selfish the older I get to try to bring student athletes that I want to be around personally, and I want to learn from and help them grow, because life is short, and this profession makes it even shorter because you're constantly on the go. So with us building this program, a culture of joy, you always learn from others. I know Dabo had the culture of joy. He got it from Tony Dungy, and it's always what we've done: Jesus, others, yourself. I mean, when you're putting yourself first, usually bad things are happening. People don't want to be your teammate. You don't want to coach that kind of guy. When your priorities are right, everybody wants to be around you. And that's how everybody eats, and how everybody in the Bible, teacher, what's the greatest commandment of the law? Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who doesn't want to be a teammate with somebody that puts them over themselves? And at the end of the day, everybody on the rope pulling the same direction, you get more accomplished.
How do you build that culture? Jesus first, other second, yourself third. Like, what are some things you do with your players other than just saying it? Do y'all?
Yeah. Actions always speak louder than words. And with us, we're really blessed to be at a school where spiritually we can do things. We start every practice with a prayer. We end every practice with a prayer. We have game day chapel services. We have our staff. We do a coach's Bible study. The players have a Bible study. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I want to get stronger, but you never go to the weight room. I want to gain weight, but you never eat. I mean, everything falls in line. And spiritually, if you want to grow, you got to be in the Word. You got to be in these two. We have a no cussing policy in practice. I mean, you cuss, you got pushups or lines. That's coaches, players. And we all sin. We all make mistakes. But again, we just want to have the right culture. So when DP brings his 4-year-old to practice, we don't want him walking home with a bunch of 4-letter words that DP didn't teach him. You know,
that's
so
awesome.
We want to be great role models.
That is so cool and so different. I remember texting Dabo like 8 or 10 years ago, and in the culture of football, you know, it was dominated by, you know, Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. And I was just like, hey, can you be different? Can you be a coach that doesn't swear? Can you be a coach that does that and not be the dictator type? Because it used to be the dictator type, right? Like, you do as I say right now. But these kids have changed, man. Like, you go tell a kid to dig a hole now, they're going to be like, why? Like, why would I how big does the hole need to be? Like, no profanity. Like, how does that go over with the kids? And that would be, I'd be just curious to know how that goes over with them.
Well, I think it starts with certain coaches are better for certain kids. And if you're somebody that needs to be cursed out every day, we tell them don't come here because we can't get the most out of you. If you're someone that, in our coaching, we want to deal with people that are mature enough, we can explain what we need you to do, why we need you to do it, how we need you to do it, and you want to be successful, so you're going to do it. And now are we passionate? Are we energetic? Yeah, but at the end of the day, you can get across all those emotions in different ways. And that's what's the beauty of sports. There's a million ways to do it. And in coaching, there's a million ways to do it. And I always say 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 1 = 4, 6 - 2 = 4. And what weighs best for you, what way, and you can't be fake, you can't be phony, you got to be who God made you to be. But we're always growing, we're always pruning, we're always trying to improve. And so with that, that's just how we do it. And some people thrive in it, some people don't. And we try to help those not come in that we can't get the most out of, meaning you want to be the best player you can be and use all the talents God gave you to your fullest. And some programs will help you achieve that more than others.
How many push-ups? What's the punishment?
Well, it depends.
On which word do you use?
Now, at the beginning of the year, it might be 5, it might be 10, and then it goes to lines, and it might be traditionally, if we're having a problem with a lot of curse words, we're running a lot of lines as the players. The coaches, usually it's only a couple push-ups a year just because we're used to it, you know, but players, we change it throughout, and kind of like if you're not playing defense, you got to raise the standards to make sure you play defense, you know, and you raise the punishment to adjust to that. I always say we had a player, Rico Gathers. You could tell he cursed a lot because he was a monster.
Monster. Hey, coach.
I'm joking. He was really strong, but he didn't cuss that much.
He was swole. He was one of the ones. Was he the one who dyed his hair different colors?
No, that was Jeremy Sohan. So Rico Gathers.
He was a baller,
Rico
too.
Gathers was like tight end. Didn't he try out for the NFL to play tight end?
I'll tell you how strong he was. All right. Rico went to the Dallas Cowboys. DP, how big do you got to be to walk in the locker room with the Cowboys and get the nickname Zeus?
Oh, that means you're sculpted too. Then.
Straight up, like you are a basketball player and your nickname is Zeus in the locker. I mean, God just made him a freak. He looked like LeBron when he was born. I mean, he just.
Well, I got to ask then, how many push-ups did you have to do for the Oklahoma game that you wrote about in the book when you said we got to keep their arses off the glass? How many did you have?
Well, I could do about 50 at a time if I need to. But
dang, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, we don't. That's not the culture around here. And
that's cool.
And that's just how it is. And what you love as a coach is when the players police themselves. When someone curses and someone says you got 5, if that's as a coach, when players lead the team, you know your job is done. And those are the most successful teams.
I think one of the misnomers about being a Christian is that we're soft or we're weak. And the whole idea of being kind, just because you're kind and generous and loving or forgiving towards people doesn't mean you can't be competitive. It doesn't mean you can't be tough. And one of the things that Ashley told me is that you are super competitive. And he thinks one of your successes is your mental toughness and your resilience. Yes, you're kind and you experience joy and you have that culture, but you're also super tough, super resilient. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Well, I first of all, if you're not competitive as a coach, you're not in the profession because you're already fired. All right. So you're competitive. And what guardrails and what safety nets do you put up to make sure it's a good competitiveness? And one thing You mentioned Ashley Hodge, and God's given us all talents and abilities. If you love what you're doing, it's not work. And I mean, I love forming teams. I love having an opportunity to pour into young people's lives. But if you want to know about toughness, at the end of the day, was there anyone tougher than Jesus? I mean, if you saw the movie The Passion, I mean, that's the toughest dude that ever lived. And what he did for us, and you always do more for people you love. I mean, you'll do things for your mom that you wouldn't do for somebody else. And at the end of the day, you got to be tough in sports, and you got to be tough in the workforce. You got to be tough as a father. I mean, nothing's easy in life. And again, I think the best thing we can do is use all our talents and abilities to their fullest, but do it in a way that would please and honor God. We say play for an audience of one. Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're playing for God and you get done, and I made him proud today, I gave everything I had. If it's not enough, you're going to go to the film, try to get better, but at least you know you can sleep at night knowing you gave your best.
Yeah, my pregame, people would ask me all the time, what do you listen to pregame? And it was Audience of One by Big Daddy Weave. That was literally the song I listened to right before I went out to take the field. Nicholas, my son, listened to it one day. He was like, geez, Daddy, did you cry before you went on the field? I was like, bro, I was hype enough. I didn't need any help getting hype. But how about raising your boys in this atmosphere and in the world? Like what are some things that you've done with your family to make sure that you keep them on track and help them grow and really facilitate the things that you want them to grow and the lessons you want them to learn?
Well, I'm really blessed because, as a coach, you are gone a lot. And, my wife's incredible, and her best quality is her faithfulness to Jesus Christ, and she raises him in a godly manner, and that's such a blessing when you know you're not there, that they're being raised in that manner. At the same time, you can hear a lesson, or you can see a lesson. And I think actions always speak louder than words, and what you do and how you do it matters most. So, is it easy? No. And that's why we're going to heaven one day. And that's a lot better place than where we're at. But with the, if I can keep the priorities straight for them, and I try to learn every day from, when we grew up, my dad tried to learn from James Dobson, focus on the family. Yep. And I mean, nowadays with technology, there's so many different podcasts, and sermons and different things. Normally when I work out, I've been doing the Peloton for the last year or 2 years, and that's a great time to listen to podcasts. You know what? You can listen to podcast sermons on 1.5 speed, 2 speed. Yep. You get twice in it a quicker amount of time. But, again, I learned daily to try to be a better father. And that was one thing I picked up from DP, just two things to ask your kids after each game. And that's something I've passed on to other people. But is there, I don't know if just exemplifying what to do is probably the biggest thing that I try to do as a dad. And with my dad, I remember in his generation, it was really big in have your kids do a million different things and find out where their joy is, where their happy place, where God gave them their talent. And like after one piano lesson, I knew that wasn't mine.
Well, you mentioned your wife. I think it was pretty cool in the book, which you hit with the book. You said you started praying for a godly woman. Like you wanted the right kind of, you weren't going out to bars. You were coached. Like there's a lot of things in your life that was a distraction. It was hard to meet girls, but talk about how you met your wife.
Yeah, again, watch what you pray for, because I know with me, my mom and dad always said, we just want you to have a Christian wife. And I'm like, well, I want a hot wife.
I want all of it.
Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, 100%, the thing that matters most is a Christian wife and who God knows compliments you and who you can be successful with. And I know I started praying for a Christian wife, and within a year I was married, and that's that. So Coach Tang on our staff that now is the head coach at Kansas State, same type of story. So a lot of times people are like, I want to get married. I want to find the perfect. When you start praying for the right spouse, and that starts with a Christian spouse that God wants you to have, you better buckle up because you're going to get rocked.
You mentioned Coach Tang. I wanted to ask you about him. How does it make you feel that he's had such success going to Kansas State? And I think he was the coach of the year for the Big 12.
I forget coach of the year in the Big 12, national coach.
Oh, he was national coach of the year. Oh, wow.
So, I mean, couldn't be more pleased and happy for him because for 19 years, we blood, sweat, tears in the same, to build Baylor basketball and how we done it. I'm sure he's taken some things from, and because it's our program, it's not my program or one other coach's program. It's our program. Same thing with the players. We're all in this together. And when he went on his own, obviously nobody's going to cheer harder for him than us, except for when we play him. Same thing. Coach McCaslin had a tremendous amount of success at Arkansas State, North Texas, and now he'll be in the conference in the Big 12 at Texas Tech. He'll do a great job, and couldn't be more pleased for him. Paul Mills, Oral Roberts, now at Wichita State. Coach Driscoll, North Florida. But to me, when players leave and have success at the next level, you know you've done something to help contribute to that. When coaches leave and have success at the next level, you know you've done something to contribute to that. And with my dad's had so many, like 100 former players and GAs, managers, and people that have gotten in the coaching profession, you know, you hopefully have had a small part in that. And that's really rewarding. Like when your kids achieve success, you couldn't be more happy for anybody. And that's how it should be. It's not easy competing against them because you know, whoever loses, that you know what they're feeling, and you don't want your brothers or your closest family members or friends to feel that, or they don't want you to feel that feeling. But besides that, it's awesome.
Raising your family and raising your boys. And your boys are what age?
So 15 and 12.
And they're hoopers?
So right now they like being in the gym. They like being around the players. They like being around the recruits. And that's awesome. My daughter's a freshman at Baylor. And that's been another cool, unique experience because she'll come over. She'll work out in the weight room. And we'll eat lunch or we'll do something together. And that's again, as a dad, that's something really cool because normally they go to college and you don't see
get away from you.
The holidays, yeah. You know, so now I see them anytime they want a free meal.
Well, that's smart business by daughter. That's good looking out. But like raising your kids, you know, like one of the things that we've talked about on here a good bit, we talked about youth league sports and how it's kind of taken hold of families and it's grabbed them and it's become so prevalent and you have to do this and you have to do that. Like, what do you say to that kind of culture that the world says you have to play basketball every single weekend and you got to grind and you got to miss church? And like, what do you say to people in that realm or that feel that kind of way?
Well, everybody's got different stories and different passions, and it works different for different people. One thing I know, they did a study, and more athletes have gotten injured, they believe, because they're just playing one sport. Growing up, everybody used to play different sports, different seasons. You develop different muscles. Nowadays, you just overtrain the same muscles a lot of times. Yep. With youth sports, I can tell you that you want to be in the professional ranks. You want to be at a Power Five or the highest level. So much comes down to how God made you. And what I mean by that is, you know, different positions. This is the speed. This is the athleticism, the height, basketball, the wingspan. I mean, you can play the sport and enjoy it and love it, but how many people are under 6 foot in the NBA? Probably you can count them on one hand every year. And so for those parents that you know, my son's got to be in the NBA. Is it your dream? Is it their dream?
Amen.
And what did God want them to do? And what plans does he have for their lives? And sports is amazing. It's a great teacher. It forms so many great habits, disciplines. But at the end of the day, I've seen the bad side of it too, and the negative side of it. And that's you get parents that are so overzealous. They're constantly on the coach or the officials. Their kids, they put it to a point where they don't want to play in sports. They don't want them at the games. I remember my little man played for 3 minor league baseball players. And they coached his T-ball team. So this is like 5 years old, 6 years old, 4 years old, whatever it was. After the season, one of them said, I'm never doing this again. I'm like, why? And they're like, parents. And I'm like, hey, yep. just so you know, I am like the best parent. I am never saying anything negative about the coach.
Shouldn't.
I'm not. Like, I mean, those officials are making $5, $10, $20 a game. You want to go officiate for $5 and have everybody yell at you? I mean, like, we've gotten some things out of whack. People spend their entire summers, and nowadays, I don't know about you guys, but growing up, the time my family vacation, seeing grandparents or things like that, that's priceless. And if you miss all of that because you feel like you got to play every weekend or play every tournament, I feel sorry for people in those situations. Because they're missing family, friends, and memories that'll last a lifetime and a lot longer than sports. Again, don't get me wrong. Sports is an unbelievable teacher. But I think sometimes parents might be sold on a dream. Well, my son, for him to play in the NBA or NFL, they need to do this every weekend and every day. And
it's not true.
Yeah, if you're 5'6" and you don't have a wingspan, I don't know where you're going.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because it's not the NBA.
I like that because it's kind of Pastor Jay. It's always what I think. He said it better.
Yeah,
he put it together better than I say it because it is. It's out of whack, and I mean it's just so much for these kids now to do, and they're trying to cram so much in now, and like I didn't private lessons and strength coaches and stuff for these kids when they're like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And you're just like, dude, like what? Cause I remember what I was doing as a kid. Then I was riding my bike. I was cruising all through the neighborhood. Like it had nothing to do. My success had nothing to do with my parents putting me in the right teams. Like it literally had God touched me and gave me an ability that gave me a thick lower half. And like, I was really, really strong. Like it had nothing to do with all that. And I think we just get lost in that. And I get frustrated with it because I want to talk sense into everybody, but I'm also the same person that needed sense talked into me about it when my kids were younger. Cause I was a little bit crazy at first. And then you realize you're like, all right, this is their life. This is their journey. Let's help them, but let's not try to step in here and do it for them.
Well, and then the other thing is, as a parent, you probably feel like, well, I'm not giving my child enough opportunity because I don't have a personal strength coach, a workout coach. I don't have them playing in this league or that league. And That's where you speaking to parents and parents that probably listen to this. I mean, if God wants them in the NFL and he gives them that talent, ability, and desire, they're going to be in the NFL. All right. But he doesn't give everybody the NBA, it's 450 players in the world. I mean, the odds,
you might as well play
the lottery. You know, I mean, it's hard to achieve. So if he gives you a passion and ability to have a chance to do it, you need to give everything you have toward that. But I know not every child has that. And you feel for those that go through all that when really there's no opportunity for that. Like me, I could never have been a doctor. All right. God did not give me that talent, ability, and desire. No matter what my parents would have wanted, I would not have been a good doctor.
Well, at 5'2" in high school, you weren't going to be a hooper either. So you knew that quickly.
And I was mad at God. I was like, I was 5'1½", to be honest. So I was like, dang.
Well, I like what you said. There's 450 people in the world in the NBA. Not every kid can make it to the NBA, but every kid can make it to heaven.
Yep.
Every kid has the opportunity. And I got chills, Scott, when you said that you're a good father if your kids make it to heaven. I mean, I really got chills because I just want to take some of these parents and wring them by the neck sometimes, because they get so into this kid's sports and all this. Is like, most importantly, is eternity. Where do you want your kids to spend eternity? And why would you prioritize sports over church or over your relationship with God? And I really did get chills when you said, I'm a good father if my kids go to heaven.
And at the end of the day, a lot of times they always say, you work so hard, you neglect your health. And then when you get older and you have money, you spend all that money to try to get your health to live longer, where that balance just comes in all along. But at the end of the day, none of us know when our last breath is going to be. And to me, if you're not going to heaven and you're in hell, like, you're going to look back and what was I thinking? You know, what lie was I believing? And that's where podcasts are great, because parents that want to have a chance to know, you know what? My kids don't have to play every Sunday morning. They don't have to miss church every Sunday. And I'm not holding something from them. And that's a blessing with technology in that regards, because you can learn from a lot of different people. And I thank you guys, because I learned from you.
What are some of the podcasts? You mentioned getting on the treadmill and listening to podcasts. What are some of the podcasts you listen to, or what are some of the books that you would recommend for your own spiritual growth?
Well, A Road to Joy is a great book, all right?
Great book. I'm holding, hey, right here, Coach, right here.
but anyway, hey, you know, if you like easy reads, read coaching books, because us coaches don't use big words, all right? Everything is real easy. It's that KISS theory, keep it simple, stupid. But my favorite one to listen to is because I attend a church, First Woodway, but one of my good friends is Jonathan Pacuda, and he was in charge of the porch ministry in the Metroplex in Dallas, at Watermark Church, and now he's at Harris Creek in Waco, and I love listening to his podcasts and sermons, and he's somebody that is phenomenal, especially for college age kids. And since that's who I'm around all the time, it keeps you young. But I really learned from him, and so blessed to be able to listen to him. Andy Stanley from your neck of the woods is somebody that I've listened to a lot as well. His dad, not as much, but Andy, I have. And as you know, in Texas, Georgia, there's so many great churches, and we're really blessed to have, you mentioned Pastor Durham, you had some family in Waco, and his son, John Durham at Highland Church, is a phenomenal pastor. And again, some of the best communicators and people that, one of my biggest questions for my daughter when she went to Baylor, where are you going to church? Because we got so many good churches, and at Baylor University, we have so many great ministries on campus. Like one of them's Vertical, and they'll be in the Farrell Center, and they'll get 4,000 to 6,000 college kids sometimes. And I mean, just so many great ways to spiritually grow. And at the end of the day, again, you're not buying your way to heaven. You're not earning your way. God, you're not getting up there. God, what was your winning percentage? How many pros did you develop? Like how many millions did you make? None of that matters. So what matters in constantly being reminded of that is so important.
Well, we appreciate your time. He also, you know, does listen to Family Goals. So if y'all want to listen to be with Coach, be like Coach Drew, listen to Family Goals. We appreciate you, man. We appreciate your heart and what you're doing for those Baylor fans, those Sikkim fans. I know are excited to have you, and they're lucky to have you, big dog.
Well, appreciate you. And, you know, DP, the last time he was here, I think it was two times ago, College Game Day, he was putting work in the practice gym. They say he got serious games. So you might have missed your calling. You might have been a basketball player, you know?
Don't give him a big head. Oh, my gosh. Hey, what? I want to bring this up because Ashley told me you are a master of racket sports and that you played tennis in college. Davey says tennis players aren't great athletes. Also, he's into pickleball. So next time he's in Waco, I want to see you guys play pickleball because he's talking about how good he is. I'm pretty sure you could wax him.
Hey, I tell you, pickleball, I know LeBron and a bunch of people have gotten behind that. That's a great sport. My dad's in Phoenix, and and it's booming. You go to the park, it's 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. I mean, they are lined up
it's
to play
crazy.
Pickleball.
It's crazy. So, when you first mentioned pickleball like 10 years ago, I was like, that sounds like something for old white people. That's literally was the first thought process. Like old rich white people. That's literally what I thought in my head. Like, but you actually played. It's pretty decent. And by the way, Pastor Jay was also, were you a national champion or were you a runner up?
Runner up.
Runner up. Okay. Sorry. I didn't know that. Runner up.
I played tennis in college.
He was a runner up tennis player in college, by the way. And I beat the crap out of him in pickleball too. So I'm not real worried about it.
Wait, he really beat you?
Oh yeah,
he did not. The last 10 games we played, my son and I waxed poly.
What about 1-on-1 when we played, Pastor Jay?
We played once 1-on-1 in his gym. It's not even a regulation court,
Coach. It's a beat.
And that's
down.
The first time I've ever played in my life.
It's a beat. Oh, see, listen to the excuses. Oh.
I've never even played.
Hey, do you ever deal with excuse players?
He's making up rules as we go.
Palms up, type guys. He's making up rules as we go. Palms up, you know.
Hey, it shows your intelligence, though. You played him one time, you got the win, and you won't give him another shot.
No. He didn't win. He won 2-on-2. He did not win 1-on-1, Coach. That was a different angle.
That's what I mean. You beat him 1-on-1, he's done. He doesn't get another shot at the championship.
Absolutely not. Well, we appreciate you, Coach. Thank you so much.
Hey, you guys have a blessed day. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Coach. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I love the phrase, not every kid can go to the NBA, but every kid can go to heaven. What is most important for you and your family? Is it sports? Is it something else? Any answer other than a relationship with God is the wrong answer. That's it. Sports are amazing. I love sports. Davey loves sports. Pastor Jay loves sports. Scott Drew loves sports. Our producer Woj loves sports. I'm sure all of you listeners out there love sports as well. But let's invest in something that's going to last for all eternity. Our souls. Your kids' souls. If you found this episode helpful or encouraging or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.